Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
That Jesus is walking up and down in the midst of it. So every time I come to church, you guys, I expect to hear from the Lord. Every time I come to church, I expect Jesus to do something with me. And, you know, obviously I'm up front teaching, but I still expect to hear from him. When I come to church, you know, like if I'm on vacation, a lot of times, you know, I used to go to other churches when I was on vacation. So I'd go over to Calvary and Walla Walla or something, or, you know, go someplace else because I didn't want to make the guys nervous. And then I just got tired of that. I don't care if I make them nervous anymore. I'm just going to come because I like coming to church here. You know, it's like I know Jesus shows up here. And it's just really cool to come in and to sit down and look at what God starts doing through people. And, you know, watching the interaction between the people in the fellowship and that kind of thing, you got to get to church. You have to be committed to the Word of God. You have to be committed to the fellowship of the believers. You have to be committed. I think that probably one of the reasons that I'm a pastor is because Jesus knows that I might be one of those flaky people who decides that, you know, maybe church is just an option or something. So he makes sure that I'm here Sunday night and Wednesdays. Second thing that you see is down in verse 5. It says, hear me, Levites, sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord your God, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. Get the filth out of the holy place. You know, and like I was saying before, judgment begins at the house of God. And so if I really want revival, I have to be committed to what Jesus set up as far as church goes, and I need to get the filth out of the holy place. Now, the holy place in this time was in the temple. The holy place in this time where we're living is my heart. So I become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so if I want revival in my heart, what's going to have to happen is I'm going to have to get the filth out. You don't get to, you know, this is another thing that I've noticed with Christians, and it's kind of foreign to me. It's really weird to me that people think it's okay to cuss. I got, you know, there's some points in my life when, you know, things get bad enough and out of my mouth should come something vile. And that's just an understandable thing. I don't understand it because the Bible says, don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth except for that which is, you know, helpful for edification. And so not supposed to be coming out of my mouth, right? You know why? Because what comes out of your mouth is an indication of what's in your heart. And what we're supposed to have is pure hearts. I want to have a pure heart. I remember what it was to be like to be a non-believer. It's not like I have virgin ears or something. You know, it's not like a cuss word is going to make me fold or something. You know, I came from that world. I came from that kind of lifestyle. I was that guy. And now I gave my life to Jesus, and that is not what my life is like anymore. There's supposed to be a purity that's going on inside. And so everything that you see on the outside is supposed to be a reflection of what's going on the inside. You want your life to be changed, you're going to have to start with the inside. There needs to be purity in your heart. You want to really have a desire for the Lord and a walk with God that's strong, it always starts with purity in your heart. So you can't have all this filth going around on the inside. And we all struggle with things. I know the guys struggle with lust, and I know that people struggle with gossip, and I know that people struggle, and it's good to have a struggle, but you are not to be satisfied with an impure heart. That God is looking on your heart, and it's supposed to be a pure one. And so, you know, again, nobody's perfect, and I understand that, but David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And when he went before God and said, God, I want to be right before you, he didn't say, search my works, O God, and see if I look good. He said, search my heart, O God, And that would be a prayer that every single one of us should be looking at. Can you sleep at night when you got all kinds of filth going on? When you do something to somebody and maybe they don't even know that you did it. When you do something to somebody and it's out of line, can you sleep at night? Is that cool with you? You know, if you said something out of line, just been out of line on whatever level, can you actually move on with your life? And if you can, that's a problem. You need to be somebody who, when things are out of line, you want to go and get it straight. And I understand that you can't always get it straight. I understand that because some people don't care. You know, they don't care to get it straight. But you have to be somebody who's got a pure heart. And that's, again, where revival comes from. Look down in verses 6 through 11. What happens is these guys, first, they open the doors to the house of God. Secondly, they get the filth out of the holy place. And then thirdly, they get up and serve. They get up and serve. In verse 6, it says, "For our fathers have trespassed, done evil in the sight of the Lord. They shut the doors to the house, the doors of the vestibule." Verse 7, "Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah." Verse 9, or verse 10, "Now it's in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense." You get up and serve. So, get to church, get the filth out of the holy place, and then start serving somebody. When you look at a lot of churches in our country, and especially in probably in the last 10, 15 years, they are all self-centered. Well, I can't say all, obviously. I don't think ours is. But people are generally self-centered, and they hop around from church to church, and what they're looking for is, what do you got to offer me? What do you got to give to me? What I need for my family is I need a large youth group, and I need a couple of different ministries that are designed to bless me in my home or bless, you know, it's like I'm looking for a women's ministry so that I can do this, and I'm looking for a men's ministry so that this can happen, and I'm looking for, you know, different little trips that I can go on, and I'm looking for this and I'm looking for that, and people are doing this stuff, going around from church to church looking for what you can give me. You know, what have you done for me lately? Is basically the attitude that people have when they go to church. And that is not biblical. That's not even close to being biblical. There's a period of time when that's okay, and that's when you're a baby believer. And so baby believers, what's supposed to be happening with them is they're just like babies. They're pretty much helpless, and they toddle around, and you got to feed them, and you got to clothe them, and you got to wipe their bottoms. And this is what you do with new believers too. You feed them, you clothe them, you wipe their bottoms. They're always making a mess, right? And that kind of stuff is going on. And it's cute when it's a little person. And it's cute when it's a brand new Christian. Brand new Christians flub up in really cool ways. You know, sometimes they just do, you know, they just open their mouths at inopportune times and they do goofy things and it's a mistake. And people are like, "Look at that guy, look at that, what that guy did." And I go, you know, at least he's doing something for Jesus, even if it's making mistakes, you know. And it's just cool. I think it's cute. But there comes a time when you got to stand up and you got to grow up and you got to start contributing. A little kid who is 8 years old and does not contribute to the family is out of line. That's out of line. A kid who is 10 years old and is not contributing to the family is out of line. A kid who's a teenager and isn't contributing to the family is way out of line. That's not what's supposed to be happening. What's supposed to be happening when a person grows up is they start becoming a blessing to the people who are around them. One of my wife's major failings in raising our children was that she would not make them do dishes. She would, you know, she would come to me and she'd go, "Well, look at this pile of dishes in the sink." I'm sorry. we'd have these conversations. "Look, how come you know, and she didn't actually do it this way, because I'll do the dishes, you know, I'll do the dishes. But she'd come to me and go, you know, say something about the dishes to me. And I'm like, "You know what? You had two kids there that I never see with their hands in the sink doing the dishes. And they should be doing them every night." And she would never do it. But you get up and serve. And, you know, there comes a point where you shouldn't be coming to church just to learn some new thing. You should be coming to church looking for an opportunity to serve the people who are around you. So when you walk in the doors, are you just walking in the doors going, "Jesus, just bless me tonight"? Or are you walking in the doors going, "Jesus, can I be a blessing to somebody else? Do you want to use me tonight?" And that's what you should be doing. You should be walking in going, God, I want to get used tonight. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? What do you want to happen here? That's what I do. Of course, I'm the pastor. I understand that. But that's what I do. I come in here and I look for ways to be a blessing. I get up and serve. And when you do that, God begins pouring stuff out on you that you can't even believe. I always use this verse. The liberal soul will be made fat, and he who waters will be watered himself. I have never seen a person who was involved in ministry and going for it with the Lord and was other-centered that was depressed. Never. And in fact, when I'm dealing with people who are depressed, one of the first things I ask them is, are you serving? And you know what the answer always is? No. They're self-focused, always looking in the mirror, always worried about what's going on with them, and they don't really give a rip about what's going on with anybody else. They're always just right here. And you know what? If all I ever did was look in the mirror, I would be depressed too. If all I ever did was look at my life and look at my problems and look at me and look at how I, you know, how I'd rather be, you know, this much further on. I thought I was going to be better, or, you know, all of this stuff. In the time that I've been here, I'd be depressed too. But if you get your eyes off yourself and you start getting them on somebody else, it changes everything. And God blesses that. So if you're in a situation where you're feeling depressed, that might be something that you need to look at. It says in the passage, get up and minister to the Lord. We minister to the Lord through worship and praise songs and, you know, and that kind of thing. And so during the time when we're doing worship, what we're supposed to be doing is honoring the Lord in that. A lot of times people want to minister for the Lord. You know, you don't minister for the Lord until you minister to the Lord first. And one of the things that I try to keep in mind, and, you know, again, I don't do this stuff perfectly, but there's all this downtime that I have that can be focused on my walk with the Lord. And so if I got downtime in my office, I'm picking up my Bible or I'm spending some time in prayer, I got 20 minutes driving out here, 20 minutes in the morning. Every morning I'm spending talking to the Lord and praying. You know, it's like, actually, there's one place where I go and get coffee for one of my secretaries, and there's a Christian ministry that's sitting right there, you know, right where I park to get my coffee. And when I'm sitting there at the roasters, I'm praying for that ministry and asking God to bless it. And, you know, it's just like I'm spending time with the Lord, and I'm taking the time that I have just to focus on him so that I'm a blessing to him. I want to be other-centered towards the Lord as well as towards other people. And so we need to minister to him first and then to others. In any case, you have that. The fourth thing that you see is in verses 12 through 16. It says, then the Levites arose, all these guys, and it says up in verse 15, they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. And the point that's being made there was they not only took it out of the house of the Lord, they took it out of the courtyard of the Lord, they took it out of the precincts of the Lord. They took this stuff out, you know, as far as they could get it. They found a dump and they dumped it there. And the point that I'm making here is the filth is carried away, but these guys didn't just take it out of the holy place or out of the temple or out of the courtyard or just that kind of thing. They took it clear out of the city. They went above and beyond is the point that I'm making here. They go above and beyond in their zeal for purity. And so when you're looking at purity in your life, it needs to be something that isn't satisfied with being like everybody else. You need to be above and beyond. Lord, I want to live my life before you, not before Steve Winery. Because after all, the pastor might see me at some point, and I don't want to be embarrassed, you know, by what I'm doing in front of him. I'm always reminded of this when I go different places, because, you know, we got probably 1,100 people who are going to our church, you know, every week. And so I go places. So I go into, you know, most often if I'm at a store, I'm like at Home Depot or something. You cannot believe how many times people come up to me in Home Depot and start talking to me, and I don't know who they are, and I find out that they know that I'm Steve and that I'm the pastor at Calvary Chapel and stuff. This happened to me the other day. I go walking up to a guy in the kitchen area, and I asked him if he knew where a certain thing was, and he goes, "Hi, Pastor. I'll be right with you." And he ditches this lady that he's talking to. And I'm like, "No, you can help her." And he's like, no, I'll come help you. And so he takes me over and he says, "You know, 10 years ago, I was at a wedding that you did for my niece," and da da. And he's going on and on. And I, you know, 10 years ago, I thought it's great to put a name to the, or yeah, put a face to the voice. I've had situations where I drove up to like a fast food place. And, you know, I'm just ordering my food, right? I drive up to a fast food place, and they come out, and they hand me my stuff, and they go, "Are you Steve Winery?" And I go, "Yeah." And they go, I knew your voice. So even knowing my voice, I've had people come around aisles in the grocery store. They hear me talking to my wife or something, or they hear me talking to my kids. They come around the aisle and they come walking up to me, and then they start talking to me about stuff. People know me, right? Guess what? They know you too. And it's scary because every time that happens, I come up to get my food, "Are you Steve Winery?" And I go, "Yeah." And I'm trying to figure out what context they know me from, and you know, and then they tell me, and I'm like, okay, was I polite to them when I made my order? You know, was I abrupt? Was I, you know? And when I'm in a store with them, you know, have they been watching me the whole time that I've been walking around? Was I irritated at something? You know, and I'm just going back through my head trying to figure out if I was a good witness to these guys while I'm walking around. You know, ultimately, what we need to be doing is being a good witness to Jesus. When we're walking around, then we don't have to worry about anybody else. And again, I understand that whole thing because I get it. But in any case, again, it talks about them sanctifying it. And in verse 18, it says, "Went into King Hezekiah and says, 'We've cleansed the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all its articles, and the table of the showbread with all its articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified.'" And it's the idea of made it holy or fit for use again. "And there they are before the altar of the Lord." They got it done. That's the next thing that you see. They finish the job. They get it done. You know, we're not to just talk about purity. We're not to just talk about revival in our lives. We're not just to talk about, "I want to be on fire for the Lord." We need to do something about it. We need to get the job done. Get it done. So don't just talk about it. You want true purity. You want true consecration. You know, there are changes that need to take place in our lives, and we need to get the changes done. This is another one of those things that I've seen with people over the years. You know, you have a Bible study like this and people get all excited about the fact that, you know, I need revival in my life and I need to have a change in my heart and that kind of thing. And they talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and just never do anything about it. They don't do the basics. You need to get it done. So you see, if God's speaking to you about issues in your life, just take care of them. Because the blessing that comes from doing the things that God wants you to is going to far outmatch any kind of trial that you go through or any kind of hassle it is making it happen. You got to get it done. Third thing, or the sixth thing, not the third thing. Verses 20 through 30, let's read that. It says, "Then King Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, went up to the house of the Lord. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary and for Judah. Then he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bulls, the priests received the blood, sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, they killed the rams and sprinkled the blood on the altar. They also killed the lambs, sprinkled the blood on the altar. Then they brought out the male goats for the sin offering before the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them. And the priests killed them, and they presented their blood on the altar as a sin offering to make an atonement for all Israel." That word for atonement there is a word that in the Old Testament means a covering. And so in the Old Testament, when the sacrifices were made, it was a covering for your sin. Have you ever heard of sweeping the dirt under the rug? You know where that comes from, right? It's like in the old days, they didn't have vacuum cleaners and that kind of stuff. And so if you wanted to clean your house really quick, somebody's coming over and you don't have time to go out and get the, what's the thing called? Dustpan. Yeah. You don't have time to go out and get the dustpan and stuff. You just find a convenient rug and you come over and you sweep the dirt under the rug and put the rug down. And then nobody knows. That's the idea there. What God did in the Old Testament was he covered people's sin. When you get to the New Testament and the word atonement is used, the word that's used there for atonement has the idea of taking it away. So in the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices covered sin. In the New Testament, the sacrifice of Christ takes it away, and it's not there anymore. And so atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering be made for all Israel. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and with stringed instruments and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel. So all the assembly worshiped. The singers sang and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they'd finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshiped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and all the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. So there's revival taking place in these guys' hearts. They're looking at purity. They're taking the trash out. They're going above and beyond. They're getting the job done. And now they're getting glad in the Lord. And that's what you see in this passage. They sang praises with gladness. You know, Kyle was talking about this on Sunday morning in a monotone voice. We pick on Kyle. How many of you guys know Kyle? Like, know him personally? How many of you know him personally? Okay. How many of you have seen him give announcements? Right. Those are two different people. Absolutely, two different people. When Kyle is in the office with us with all the guys and stuff, Kyle is the loudest guy in the room. He's always laughing. He's always goofing off and all that kind of stuff. And then he comes up here on Sunday morning and he talks about going to the Christmas extravagant, whatever we're doing next week. He talks about going to that comedy thing, and he says, it was one of the funnest things that I ever went to when I first got saved. It was, I realized at that moment that Christians could have fun. And he says, who is that guy? Who are you? You know, but it's true, man. You know, I've had some people over the years when we've done stuff, especially when we were a smaller fellowship. We had meetings in my house and stuff, and we were always goofing around. And I've had people tell me that they came over to a party that we were doing, and they were saying, "This is the most fun I've ever had. You know, I didn't realize you could have fun without drinking." They thought that Christians had no ability to have fun, because if you didn't have something to drink there, nobody was going to be loosened up enough to have any kind of fun. One guy, we had him come over to a New Year's Eve party, and he wasn't even a Christian, man. And he comes over to this New Year's Eve party, and we're goofing around, and we're doing these skits. And in this one skit, it was me, I believe it was me and Mitch and this guy. And so we're doing this skit. We make him dress up in a dress. He's not even a Christian, man. We made him dress up in a dress, and we're doing this whole skit thing. And he said he had the most fun that he'd ever had in his life. And he was, you know, just laughing like crazy. It was pretty fun.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.